guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host, Kit Scales. This episode, I'm talking to my friends, Hannah and Caddy, who are a couple. It's my first time having more than one person on the show as a guest. Basically, I had an idea that I wanted to do overarching themes for some of the episodes. So the first few episodes are all about kind of like media and pop culture and things like that. And I'm doing a few episodes now that are all going to be about sex and relationships. So Hannah and Caddy are in an open relationship, and I thought it'd be interesting just to talk about like some of my experiences and how they kind of like manage their open relationship and handle things like jealousy and like setting boundaries and things like that. So in this episode, I've shared like two of my own experiences, and I feel like I need to add a tiny bit more context just because the ex that I speak about in this episode, I feel like I need to make it clear that that relationship was very unhealthy and that person was very abusive towards me. So a lot of the things that I talk about in this episode are kind of like colored by that, and I feel like I need to make it clear that the reason that that relationship was such a bad experience for me wasn't because it was an open relationship, even though there was definitely ways that that could have been handled better. But I think it's just important for me to be open with you guys about that because I feel like you need to kind of like understand some of the context around that. So I met Hannah at the library. She's just a cute angel. I really liked her straight away. You know when you meet someone that, and then you're like, oh my god, I want to be your best friend right now. And then she lent me like loads of books and she put them in this little package and she put like a little note with each one, like telling me what the book was about and why she liked it. And I really liked all the books she lent me. And then I was like, wow, I fucking love this girl. Please follow the podcast on Instagram. It's The Bisexual Agenda Pod. If you want to send me a question or an idea for an episode or a bisexual dilemma, just DM me on there. And if you really love me and the podcast, you should leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. So, and tell your friends. Please. We need bisexual world domination to happen, and I feel like this podcast is potentially the answer. I love you guys. Thanks so much for listening to another episode. Thank you for bearing with me over the Christmas break. I'll have episodes going up every 2 weeks now as usual, and I hope you had a good Christmas.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, do you want to say who you are?
I'm Hannah.
My name's Caddy.
Okay, I think it's getting both of you. I want you to tell me about your holiday because I want to go on a gay holiday.
So we went to New York. I'd never been outside of Europe before, even, so I'd never been on a long flight or anything, which I was nervous about. But it was fine and really exciting. And we didn't do any tourist things, really, whatsoever. Like, I got home and then, like, loads of people at work have been like, did you go up the Empire State Building? Did you go to Times Square? And I'm like, no, none of them. We did nothing of them, none of that. We went to the Leslie Lohman Gallery, which is, like, a gallery of lesbian and gay art. Mm-hmm. And they had a really cool exhibition about queer sex work, didn't they?
Yeah, that was really brilliant. It was in, like, downtown Manhattan. We had a long list of things to do that, essentially, I had...
Are you the like, planner?
I am the planner.
I'm not a planner. It's like the least Virgo thing about me. But I planned enough to speak to someone that I had never spoken to before, who I followed on Twitter, who I knew had gone to New York and had a really gay time recently and was essentially like, what shall we do in New York?
You're just like, I want to copy your whole holiday.
They had made a map, hadn't they, of all the things that they liked and recommended in New York. So that we just got... You got the map off them, didn't you?
Yes, they sent me this map.
Which was super helpful. We did go to, like, lots of little galleries as well, didn't we? Yeah. That weren't gay. That we just kind of, like, stumbled across. Mm-hmm. And we... On the Wednesday that we were there, it was Trans Day of Remembrance, so we had planned to go to this event at the LGBT centre. And it was so amazing. Like, the centre was so impressive because it was, like, I just don't understand how a place like that is funded. But it was just, like, a really modern building. It was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was really tall and massive. it was just so big.
Yeah, it's a big community space.
Yeah, and there was like conference rooms and like places for people to hang out and stuff. It was great. And then, so there must have been like 150 or 200 people
that's cool.
at this event, and they fed us all for free. And there was like music and speakers, and it was so good. And we made friends with this woman called Gypsy, who was really, really cool and was telling us about when she first moved to New York in 1977.
Oh my god, iconic.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Was this scary though? I'm like scared of going to America, so.
I wasn't scared. It was a bit scary when we first got to the airport and they're like, the security, like they take your fingerprints immediately.
Take a photo of your face and like,
yeah. They're like, welcome.
Yeah, and I was like,
from incredibly surly so border guard who didn't really like look at us except to say like thumb, right fingers. Like, oh god, okay, fine, what do you need from me? Just let me in. I
get so scared in the airport. Like when I was flying back from Amsterdam, I just suddenly in the queue got convinced that I had drugs on me, even though I didn't have drugs on me and I hadn't done any drugs there. I was just, and everyone in the queue was like blatantly high, and I was like, everyone's on drugs. Am I on drugs? Do I have drugs?
Oh my god, Kit.
And then I was like, I definitely don't, but I feel like I look so suspicious because I'm like crying with fear in the queue or something.
I love it.
That's
funny. Hold it together. You can do it.
They're really like hardcore in America because some places they're really just like YOLO. They're like, let you take hummus in and everything.
Hummus?
Yeah, like, yeah, does it count as a liquid? Yes.
No. What?
It was like, it did, when we were like just walking around, I did feel a bit freaked out at the whole gun thing. That like literally anyone can have a gun.
No.
Not really, no. The police had guns, didn't they?
I don't think it's an open carry state. I don't think you can, like, I don't think people just have their revolver in their holster when they walk into the 7-Eleven.
But it's just scary, the thought that anyone could have a gun.
Yeah.
Did you go to MoMA? Is that that?
Yeah, we did go to MoMA.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd really like to go, but I'm just scared.
It was so good. And then we went to this dyke bar as well, which was amazing and, like, genuinely full of dykes.
What was it called?
Cubbyhole. Ooh. Yeah, and at the end, and the woman behind the bar was Irish woman. She was so nice, and she gave us like a little token, didn't she, so that we could go back and get a free drink.
That's
the
so
next
cute.
Time we went. Yeah, and
that's
we made
adorable.
A friend there.
Yeah.
That
shout
was,
out Sid.
Yeah, hi Sid. We did tell Sid to listen, but I don't know if they would. Anyway, yeah, and then on the Friday we went to this like burlesque drag show thing with Sid as well, and then we went out for tea together.
And it was like,
oh, is that the person that you made friends with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like randomly.
Yeah. It was so good, that show, wasn't it?
It was really intimate.
What happened?
It was called Burlexes, and it was sort of draggy burlesque show about people's responses to like their past relationships and their exes, and it was really intimate and small in this tiny theatre called WOW Cafe Theatre, which is a women and trans run theatre that's kind of hidden away in downtown Manhattan, and it was difficult to find, and when we found it there was a few people crowded outside, we're like, this might be the place.
My god, once when I was like trying to, on like the bisexual day, you know what day that is, the bisexual day, it's like in
every
October
day.
Or something, that's a bisexual day, but I was trying to find Olivia in this like hotel, and Google Maps kept telling me that I was already there when I clearly wasn't there, and then I saw two girls with like purple and blue hair, so I was like, okay, must be there, and I like followed them into this hotel, and then they got in the lift, and I was like, okay, right, got in the lift, and then I realised it definitely wasn't there, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm just following these girls because I think they look gay.
That's wonderful.
So yeah, I'm not very good at reading maps. Really,
everyone with fun hair is queer, right?
Yeah. I have boring hair, which is probably why everyone thinks I'm straight, but
you don't have boring hair.
My hair can only do one thing. Like, every time I go to a hairdresser, they're like trying to get some volume in, and I'm like, don't do that. Like, there isn't volume.
There won't be volume, there can't be volume.
And I'm like, please just accept me for who I am.
Before we went to New York, I had a bit of a crisis, and I was like, oh my god, I don't look queer enough to go to New York. I want everyone to, I want everyone in New York to read me as queer. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just dye my hair. Because that's the answer to that, obviously. And I wanted to dye it, like, pink or, I don't know, just some weird colour, but I just never got around to it.
I miss when you had your rainbow.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was good. So cool.
Yes, I think about that quite a lot.
You could do it again.
That's the only time I've really had dyed hair, apart from when I had red streaks in A7.
Wow, and your mum let you do that? My mum would be like, you're never going to get a job. You're a harlot. I was so annoyed because when I got my tattoo, I was like 19 and I thought about it for like 2 years and I was like, I'm definitely sure. And I knew my mum hated tattoos, so I was like, Mum, I'm getting a tattoo. Like, I know you don't really like them. And she was like, that's fine. And I was like, okay, weird. And then I got it and I was like, she was like, oh, I'm going to Sainsbury's, do you want anything? And I was like, oh, can you get the like cream for me to put on my tattoo? And she like didn't buy it and then like refused to speak to me for like 3 days.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, so you hate it and you are annoyed, but why? And she was like, well, I just think you really need to think about like your career prospects. I was like, Mum, it's on my upper thigh. Like, I am wearing a skirt when I go for these job interviews. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. But then she always goes on about wanting a tattoo of a peacock feather. And I'm like, that's the tackiest fucking tattoo I've ever heard. Like, you can't tell me that I'm like a slag because I have like a tasteful Picasso tattoo. And
oh my
then
God,
you're
is
like,
it a Picasso tattoo? Do you want to see it? Yeah, I do want to see it.
Oh, God. For the listeners, Kit is now showing us her tasteful Picasso tattoo. It's beautiful.
Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
It's a woman's face.
Where did you get that done?
In Bath, and I actually regret like getting it done by a man because I'm like, I wish I'd just got a woman to do it. But in Bath, there's only like 3 tattoo shops, and 2 of them are shit, and 1 of them is good. But the guy that did my tattoo was like sleeping with one of my friends and like was a dick.
God. Mm.
And I just kind of felt weird about it. Yeah, also, he was just a bit of a cunt to me because, like, I'm really scared of needles and I'm, like, just scared of everything. Mm. So I was, like, really afraid that I was going to, like, have a panic attack when I had my tattoo. Mm. So I was, like, just making awkward jokes with him. Like, you know, they shave, like, they shave the bit they're going to tattoo. Yeah. When he was doing it, I was like, oh, do you want to just do the rest of the leg? And he was like, you're paying for the hour. I was like, why are you making jokes of me? And he was just, like, being a weird dick to me. So then I was just like,
that's a funny joke. I would have laughed at that.
Yeah. And then, like, because it was just only, like, men in the tattoo shop, and it was just, like, had that, like, match. Like, his specialism was, like, doing skulls. Like, he obviously didn't want to do my tattoo and was just like, you're a little baby, you know?
Yeah.
So now I'm like, oh, I wish I had a cool woman to do my tattoo.
Well, you could always get another one.
I want a tattoo of an orchid, but I'm worried it will look too much like a vagina.
Why would that be a bad thing?
I know. I'm like, I'm not worried by it also, but I want it like here, so I'm like, it's weird
that's
to have a vagina tattoo.
That's such
tattoo.
A weird thing. That's like the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say.
Shit. Maybe it's like,
because why would you mind if you had a tattoo that looked like a vagina?
That's true. Oh my God. Maybe this is my eternal like misogynist cunt speaking.
I feel like, because we have a few friends, like our next door neighbours are like heavily tattooed people, and obviously have a lot of tattoo artist friends, and they always say things about different tattoo artists like, oh, they're really gentle and stuff. Like, I think that's a thing. It's not just like the same level of pain whoever you go to.
Oh no, it's not the pain that I'm worried about, it's just like the idea of it like disgusts me.
Okay.
But
because I'm thinking about this tattoo artist, and she's like super meek and really really lovely.
Oh, Angel.
Yeah. And she does like delicate little like flowers and shit.
Yeah, Amelia has a really nice stick and poke that looks really cool. And I want a Jenny Holzer tattoo, but I'm like, I'm just being a parody of myself. But I'm like, maybe that's fine.
Yeah, maybe you should
just do it.
Yeah. Oh my God, and I found my like old UCAS form and my personal statement.
Oh my God, really?
It made me laugh so much.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I found it to look at.
Oh my God, I honestly nearly cried because I read my reference and they were so nice about me. I literally was like crying.
Can you find mine?
Yeah, I can find it.
Oh my God, send it to me, please.
I'll do it.
I literally was crying.
I
want to read my references.
Yeah, but my personal statement was such a joke. It was like really angry feminist because I applied for art history and like it's quite a feminist course or whatever. So it just opens with this Jenny Holzer quote being like, abuse of power is no surprise.
Well,
I was like, what?
Holy shit, that's intense.
I know. I was like, wow, I really haven't changed. Like, I'm just coming in screaming. And then I'm like, I want to deconstruct all these like horrible sexist things in the art world.
Oh,
I was like, wow, go off. And at the end, I'm like, I really want to learn a language while I'm at uni. I was like, I definitely didn't. Like, I went on Duolingo like 3 times when I was like, wow, French is so hard.
So we went to also the Lesbian History Archive, and I was really excited to go there because, I mean, also because it sounds like a cool place, but because I work in an archive, so I was like, want to see how it works there. And it was so different to Special Collections. It was kind of just like in a house, wasn't it? It kind of looked a bit like it was just in a house.
We went on a day trip to Brooklyn, essentially, with the and the main purpose of the trip was to go to the History Archive, which was near Prospect Park and in an old, like, brownstone, just like a big house. And we turned up and rung the doorbell, and this tiny old lesbian walked into the door. He's like, hello. Like, hi, we've come to look around. She said, it's really busy today. We went in and there were 7 people in there.
Were there even that many people?
I think so.
That's so cute.
People were doing work in the back room, and there were just shelves and shelves and shelves of books. There were lots of, like, I don't know, filing cabinets of things which they couldn't get onto the walls, and everything was, like, sort of open access, and you could just touch everything and read everything, and
it was crazy.
It was beautiful.
It was. It was a really gorgeous place, wasn't it? It was so wild to go to an archive where, like, everything is just open. Like, it made me feel a bit nervous, to be honest. Because, like, anyone could put something back in a different place and no one would know.
It's so stressful.
And then how could anyone find that one piece of paper ever again, though?
But did you have a look at the catalogue?
Yeah.
I don't know how well organised it was in terms of...
No, it wasn't that organised, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they get a lot of donations.
Yeah, they do get a lot of donations.
And it's all volunteer run, so there's not much archival training. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Everything was in, like, archival boxes and stuff, though, upstairs. But it was mad. You could literally just root around. It was like being at work.
You should volunteer there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That would be cool.
I looked at the prices of renting, like, a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, and it is expensive, which is not surprising.
Probably won't do that, then.
I'm just texting Olivia to see which film festival she went to, because I wanted to say something, but I can't remember the city it's in. Oh, Hamburg. Okay, yeah, I don't know why I thought of it. It's because I kept telling everyone she'd gone to Hungary, and she already hadn't. Wow. But she went to this archive in Hamburg that was so cute, and it was, like, around by loads of old lesbians, and they were like, oh, we asked people, like, what they would want in an archive, and they said they wanted a bed, like, so we could read all the books in bed.
What?
And they were like, yeah, so we just got a bed.
What,
and
so
they,
like,
give you slippers when you go in, and they give you, like, a little cup of tea and everything. What and the? Then they just let you read all the books in the bed.
So all of the people can just sit in the bed?
Yeah, is that freaking you out as a Virgo?
Yeah.
You're like, how often do they change the seats?
Yeah, how often do they change the seats, though? That's weird. I don't like that at all. No.
But you're, like, in clothes.
I mean, everything is better lying down.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Being on a bus is not good.
It's like the Harry Potter night bus. I mean, I could imagine, like, travelling somewhere lying down would be much, like, preferable to sitting.
That's
up
why on. Everyone fucking loves first class. Like, I just want to one day fly a first class and have one of those, like, reclining seats where you have, like, your own, like, little booth and
little
everything.
Pod. Mm.
Then you know
I'd have
later.
People bring you Voldemorts.
On planes, that they give out nuts on planes. I'm like,
do they?
What if someone here has a fucking airborne nut allergy?
Yeah.
And they don't speak English.
Do they
and
actually?
You're
give
just cracking
nuts?
Open the nuts. Yeah.
No, I feel so much stress about going on a plane every time I get on a plane.
Yeah, you do. Don't
do you want to know how stressed I was about getting the plane to Bali? I fucking wrote a will. Like, I actually got a legal will. But that's because I was like, what if
are you like searching
for
it on your computer?
No,
right
I'm
now.
Just trying to make sure it's not dying.
That is a true person with anxiety, isn't it? Has a will.
Well, I was just like, it's quite easy to die. And might as well just do it now.
Yeah.
It was like write a will month or something. So I was like, yeah, I'll write a will. That's completely normal. And now I'm like, wow, the extremes that I went to. And I didn't die. I had a great time on the plane. I was like, wow, it's just like a sleepover in the sky with loads of strangers. And you're just watching films.
Dreamy.
I love seeing, like, what other people are watching. There was just this old guy watching Nancy Drew. I was like, I love you.
That's very cute.
I can't remember what I was saying. Yeah, the bed. I think that's cool.
No.
No.
Disagree.
You're against it.
Strong disagree.
But it was, like, all
bed.
Cute and cozy, and it was, like, a house. And they had, like, all the books just, like, by theme. So, like, and they had, like, different shelves where everything was jumbled up, so you might just, like, find something randomly. Like.
Well, that sounds cute.
Hmm.
I like the shelves.
They had a bed at the
and
library.
They had those of, like, home videos that, like, women submitted. It was, like, a feminist archive, so they had those of, like, home videos from, like, the 60s and 70s that people, like, sent in.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That sounds great. What else did we do in New York? We ate so much good food.
Mm-hmm. What was the best food that you had?
What was your favourite?
The block of silken tofu covered in black sesame with the fried beetroot and onion over it, which was delicious mix of like soft and crunchy and pretty good. We had that.
That was amazing.
You gotta have the crunch factor.
You do. We went to Koreatown on the first night that we arrived. Mm-hmm. We went to a restaurant called Her Name Is Han because her name is Han.
That's
so cute.
And it was really good.
Oh my god, it was amazing, wasn't it? It was well fancy. Mm-hmm. I really, really fucking loved that bagel that we had from Russ and Daughters.
Yeah, that was really good.
Holy shit. It was amazing. So you went in to this shop and it was kind of like a deli type thing. Like you could buy different like cream cheeses and fish and stuff and bread and whatever to take away.
It's like a time warp as well. You go in and this has not been, like the decor has not changed since the 50s when it was set up. It was beautiful.
It was really gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so you... Basically, they had like a million different cream cheeses.
That was stressed me out. I'm so indecisive.
And they also had a million different smoked salmons. And then you basically chose what
you wanted. I had a smoked salmon cream cheese bagel yesterday.
Well, I bet it was nothing compared to this delightful bagel.
It was still quite nice.
No offense. Where did you get yours from?
I went to Horsforth. I went to this place that I don't know the name of. It was like Wooden Spoon something. No. Maybe it was called that. That's where I got my krona. Do you want to see a picture of my krona?
Oh, I saw that.
Yes, please.
I actually really messaged you saying, where the hell is this?
I can ask Amelia because I went to see them in Horsforth. It was so fucking wholesome. It was just like, you know, like Midsummer Murders Town. It was like that, but just like loads of hot dads with their babies and dogs. I was like, wow, look at it.
Wow.
It had lemon curd inside.
That,
and then it has like
so
salt
amazing.
Meringue.
I really like
on
that
the
plate
top.
As well.
Mm-hmm. It's from IKEA.
Oh, nice.
Cute.
Yeah, it was really good.
Was it more croissant or donut?
It was more croissant.
Nice.
If anything, it was just like a croissant with a donut exterior.
That's what
a
I would want.
Donut-shaped croissant. I'm really obsessed with how Americans say croissant.
Croissant.
Oh, yeah,
croissant.
Oh, you just couldn't stop saying it all week.
Croissant.
Oh my god. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't go because I have this thing where I always copy people's accents without realizing.
God, I was like struggling a lot with that.
Apparently, it means that you're like an empathetic person though because you're like trying to mirror the person that you're talking to. But my parents said that like when I was two, they took us to Scotland and I just started speaking in a Scottish accent.
Women are much more likely than men to
But it
do
pisses
that.
People off because I was like dating this Canadian girl once and she was like telling me a story and like asking me for advice and I was like, oh, just say la 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 la. But when I said the thing she should say, I like copied her accent and she was like, do you just fucking copy my accent? And I was like, did I? Like, she was like, is that what you think I sound like? And I was like, I don't even know what I just did.
It's because I love you.
She was hot. She looked like Grimes. I actually thought that she was
things.
Grimes because I was like, she's Canadian, she looks like Grimes. Like,
yeah,
she's
Grimes.
Grimes. Yeah. But she didn't see me after that. Rude.
Wow.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah.
She must have really offended her.
I just wanted to ask you about like open relationship stuff because I've like been a part of other people's non-monogamy, but I've never had like my own. So I don't know how you like organize everything and make it so it's like how you want it. But also like my last relationship, it was like all on their terms how it worked out, and then I realized that is not like a healthy thing for it to be because I was just like, oh, I really want to be with this person, and they were like, well, I have a girlfriend who I live with, and I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then like obviously dated that couple for a bit, but I felt like that was much more equal because like I wanted to do that and they wanted to do that as well.
Yeah.
And like I liked them both, and I think it's much better if you like know everyone involved, because like with my ex, I like didn't really know her girlfriend because it just like I felt like I didn't want to know her because I was like, then it will make me freak out about it.
Yeah.
But in the end, me and her ended up being really good friends, and we both hate my ex. Every time I date someone who turns out to be horrible, I then like become best friends with their ex. Is that really weird?
I don't think so. I think then you have something in common.
Yeah, it gives you something in common, doesn't it, I guess.
Yeah. I just want to know, because I think loads of people are interested in like being in a non-like traditional relationship, but no one knows how to do it without like ruining their life.
I'm really interested in your experience of being a part of an open relationship as someone who doesn't have more than one partner at a time. I think that's
the thing is, I'm like Well, I've, like, casually dated more than one person at a time. And I understand, like, the concept of how you're feeling for more than one person at once. And I've definitely had that, where I've been like, I'm in love with this person, but I also want to date this person. But I was never involved with either of them. So yeah. It was more just, like, the concept.
The idea.
Yeah.
But with my ex, like, the thing is, I think it only worked out because I just, like, desperately wanted to be in that relationship, even if it wasn't good. I think it's, like, not a very good example because the whole relationship was fucked anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think it compromised your happiness? To
The thing is, them being non-monogamous didn't make me unhappy. Mm. Like, I was fine with that. But I think because I, like, didn't understand how it worked, I felt like they were the only person that could tell me how it worked. Because I was like, I don't know how this all works. So whatever they say, I was like, cool. Yeah. That makes sense. When we were, like, honestly, like, 6 months in, they were like, oh, by the way, like, my other partner doesn't want me to, like, have a casual sex, so, like, I'm just dating her, and I'm dating you, and I'm not going to date anyone else outside of that. Is that okay with you? And think about it now. I'm like, why the fuck was that a conversation that was happening, like, 6 months in? That should have been, like, before you even start dating someone. If they had been sleeping with people casually, like, when we first started dating, I would have been, like, really unhappy with that. So then I felt like, oh, like, what have you been doing up to now? But because, like, their other partner had, like, asked for that to be the arrangement, I felt like I just had to be like, oh, yeah, like, that's an arrangement I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. But that was the arrangement I was happy with. But whatever they said was the arrangement, I would have just been like, oh, yeah, because I was like, I'm the additional person.
Mm. So did you feel like you had less sort of agency because you came in after
the... Yeah. Like, but also I was, like, desperate to be in that relationship, so I would have been like... whatever goes. Because they live with their partner and I didn't ever go around there, I basically was like, our relationship is the only thing that exists to me, and I can just pretend like your relationship with the other person, like,
is not
happening. But also I was happy that they were in another relationship because I was, like, terrified of being in a relationship and I felt like I couldn't do one. So the fact that they were already in one that was, like, more serious,
took the pressure off you.
Yeah, so when they broke up with that partner, I was like, fuck me, like, I'm the girlfriend now. I was like, I don't want this, it's really stressful. And that's when it all started going downhill. I think it's like, I felt like they had the tick of approval because they already had a serious partner. I was like, oh, they must be good at being a partner because they already have a serious partner. And in reality, they were not.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean much.
I think I would be open to doing something non-monogamous again. Because, like, with the couple I was dating, that was, like, perfect for me. Because I was like, I just want to have a threesome. So, like, if you guys want to have sex with me, that's great. And that was, like...
I do.
Yeah, but it was really nice because we, like, just went on dates together. And I was like, this is really nice. And I liked both of them.
Why did that end?
Because now I have a wife.
Yes. Oh, right, it ended because of that.
Recently.
Yeah. Well, I had seen them, like, a handful of times, and then I just kind of didn't... The ball was always in my court to be like, do you want to go for a drink or something? So then I just didn't say that for a while. And then I was like, I should probably say that I'm seeing someone instead of just, like, disappearing. Because I do want to be friends with them. But also I hate doing that thing where you're like, sorry, I'm seeing someone now. So I didn't want to do it in that way. But I also didn't want to get into a situation where they're like, hey, do you want to hang out? And I'm like, do we think we're having a threesome right now? Because
I'm married. You need to be clear about that.
So yeah, that's how it's gone for me. But I don't think, I get so obsessed with the person I'm seeing that I don't think I'd ever want to, like, have another partner. But I'd also, I've never had a long relationship, so I don't know if, like, further down the line I'd be like, oh, I'm open to doing that.
To be fair, I think that I'm still obsessed with you.
Oh yeah,
I'm still obsessed with you. I think
I would go insane if I was obsessed with more than one person. I'd be like, I can't go to work because I'm just obsessed with everyone.
It's too confusing. It's too all-encompassing.
If the person I was dating hadn't been, like, a complete cunt and, like, very manipulative and, like, isolating everything, and, like, they were basically lying to both of us the entire time.
Wow.
And then they cheated on me. So when I look back on it, I'm like, oh, the whole thing was fucked.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I met someone now and they were like, look, I have a girlfriend, like, I'm really interested in dating you, this is how our whole situation works, like, what kind of thing are you looking for, like, how much do you want to see me, how much do you want to text me, like, I can do this, but I can't do this.
I mean, I agreed the basis of a good open relationship is diplomacy and communication and being open to discussing people's boundaries and to feel challenged and to kind of accept challenge from other people.
You do kind of have to be open to feeling uncomfortable and not automatically being like, oh my God, no, I can't do that. But yeah. being like, okay, that makes me feel uncomfortable, and thinking about why it makes you feel uncomfortable, and like exploring that, and maybe like asking for reassurance where you need it, and just being completely clear about everything. And like, you don't have to hide the fact that you're feeling uncomfortable or anything.
No, because, yeah.
Like the other day I was having just... I don't know, I was just like in a bad mood, and I just was feeling really jealous all day. And then I came home from work and was like being a bit grumpy. but then I was like, no, this is stupid. And then we had like a really good conversation about it.
We did.
And then I felt like great and fine.
Yeah, because I think often if you're feeling jealous or if you're feeling any type of way, then it's usually, it's a symptom of something else often. And so you might be feeling, you're feeling like your insecurities are just heightened that day, or you're feeling concerned that you're not getting to spend enough time with each other. And it's, you know, you can be jealous of all sorts of things. You can be jealous of another partner, or you can be jealous of someone spending time with their, even with their friends or with their hobbies. You know, there's always, you could always find a thing to be jealous of.
Yeah.
People who are in monogamous relationships, usually the sort of very heteronormative, straight, normie people that I work with, for example, in the hospital, will find out that I'm in an open relationship, and
does that brain explode?
Yeah, it does explode. But you know, they respond often. They're very confused. Sometimes a bit disgusted. I think sometimes, they don't know how to respond to it often. Or they'll be really inappropriately curious, which is just another kind of like fairly unreasonable response. The first question I get from a lot of people is, how are you not jealous?
Yeah.
That's what happened to me, because like when I was in that relationship, like my friends would always be like, but are you not jealous? And I'd be like, well, sometimes I am, but I know it's a feeling that doesn't actually need to like fuck anything up, because I'm like, oh, I just feel kind of jealous. Like if my partner didn't text me for an evening, I'd be like, oh, it's because they're having a date night with their girlfriend. And sometimes that would piss me off, but then I'd be like, well, I wouldn't want them to be texting someone else if they were with me for like the night or something. I think people just think, oh, like if you can be happy in an open relationship, you have to like never experience the feeling of jealousy. Yeah, and it's like, that's such impossible. A big ask. It's like,
that is definitely the first thing that people think. Is the first thing that people say, tell me. I mean, I don't really tell people at work that much, but just if I do ever tell anyone, it's the first question is literally always, well, don't you get jealous?
I think it's like, it's nice because it like allows jealousy to exist in a way that's like, you can be okay with it. Because you're in like a monogamous relationship and you suddenly get really jealous of your partner like flirting with someone else, it's because it's threatening what you have. When you're in an open relationship, it doesn't threaten what you have in the same way, because you've already said that you're okay with them like having that kind of connection with someone else.
Yeah, it makes jealousy not a universally negative emotion or feeling to I think
it's kind of sad, because like with like monogamous stuff, like, you know, like if you move in with someone, if you want to like not live with them anymore but you don't want to break up, for like straight people, like you can't really do that. You can't really be like, oh, I want to call off our wedding but I still want to be with you. Like, it's always like, well, that's it. If we're not like going to the next step, it's not, you can't really go back a bit. So
the relationship conveyor belt.
Because it's like, if you're married to someone for like 20 years and then you're like, oh, I kind of fancy someone, like, you're never going to be like, oh, I kind of fancy someone, like, do you mind if I go on a date with them? You're just going to have an affair and ruin your fucking marriage. And it's sad, but it's like, most people, like, if their partner said, like, oh, I fancy this other person, I kind of want to sleep with them, that's, like, that's it then. And it's like, why does it have to be like that?
Like, you have to choose
like
between them.
And I think people, like, take it personally. They're like, oh, is there something that I can't give you? And it's like, they're just another whole human being. Like, what they have is completely different.
It's different. It's not like monogamous people are immune from jealousy. It's just they don't understand how to deal with it.
That's the thing. It's like, well, aren't you jealous? Like, I don't know. Maybe people ask that question because if they would never want to be in an open relationship because they think they wouldn't be able to handle it because of the jealousy element.
Whereas I mean, that's what I thought before I really knew anything about open relationships. Like, my first thought was, fucking no way, I could never do that. But you just have to kind of reframe how you think about it and how you respond to your emotions.
Yeah, but I think you also have to, like, try something to see if you're actually okay with it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's fine to try something and then be like, oh, actually, that was normal.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because we were monogamous for three years. And then we've been non-monogamous for 1 year.
Yeah.
And we live together.
And have lived together the whole time.
Just giving the listeners some background information.
And they have a really nice house. I love your bathroom. I love your kitchen.
Thank you.
And you have a cute fluffy cat.
Really? Yeah. There's lots of cute fluffy cats running around behind you outside, actually.
Yeah, if you see a really fat ginger one, that's Doble.
Yes.
That's our adoptive son.
Doble!
Yeah, that's not his real name, but that's the name that I have given him. Because
that's a great name.
Yeah. We need one called Garlic Butter.
And there's another one called Pudding, but that's the actual name. But that's black like and tiny black
pudding.
And white one.
Yeah, I've seen him just running around.
It's a girl.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I love the kitties. Yeah, Doble went missing for like a week, and we were... me and Olivia literally were like, can we take compassionate leave for this? We were so upset.
Distraught.
And then it turned out that he just got locked in like his mum's neighbour's house because they were on holiday and they didn't realise he was there. I think the reason I liked like stuff that had complicated arrangements is because I wanted there to be so much communication that I was like, in this situation, it demands that you talk about everything. Because, like, with the couple, I was like, we're going to have to talk about everything and sort everything out. Whereas, like, if you just go on a date with one person, it's not like you're being like, okay, so what's the arrangement? Or maybe you are. I don't know.
No, not necessarily, I guess.
I just like to plan. I'm a control freak.
It is good to know everything. I think that's what's helped me. That's what's helped me more and more throughout it. Because at first, it was really difficult. And we basically just started with some, like, quite tight boundaries, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And then, like, loosened them as we went on.
Oh, my God, yeah. Some podcasts I listen to, they're like, oh, just do, like, a what-I-don't-know-doesn't-matter policy. I was like, that is fucking insane.
Oh, my God, we talked about that recently, didn't we?
Did we?
Oh, no, that was someone else. Okay. I'll talk to you about that later.
That's fine. I'm excited for that conversation.
Yeah. That sounds fucking awful.
Like, that is mad. Then your imagination would, like, run wild.
I don't know. I can understand why some people might just be like, I'm cool with it if I don't know. But personally, that is not me.
You're living in denial.
I'm like, I need to know everything.
Yeah, we set quite sort of fairly specific boundaries. And you're right, they have changed. Yeah. We've had, like, recent conversations where we've changed the boundaries, maybe change the kind of rules that we'd set at the beginning. And it's about manoeuvring around what you're comfortable with, isn't it? And as the relationship progresses, as the relationships progress, then I think that it's fairly normal for things to change because in monogamous relationships, then the boundaries of your relationships sometimes change, or the way you feel about each other, or what you do.
Plus, also, it's impossible to like set a boundary that's based only on hypothetical things.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, well, I think I'll be okay with this and not this.
Yeah,
it's like you don't know until you try.
I think for me, two of the things that stand out for just really important things that have helped me to be loads and loads more comfortable with this is, for starters, you telling me what you don't feel able to do. That was like a turning point for me because I was expecting a lot from you, I think, at one point. And I was like being of a control freak a bit, and I was like, I need you to text me and tell me where you are, like all the time.
The mum Virgo energy was like,
yeah. But I think
you're like, can I put a GPS on you?
I think you didn't want to like upset me or anything by saying that you didn't feel able to do that, did you? So you were saying, yeah, that's fine, I can do that, but then not doing it because it was an unrealistic thing for me to ask of you.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you said to me, hey, I don't think I can do that, then I was like, that's fine then. That's okay.
Really hard to be like, no. Especially if someone's sometimes you want to meet someone's needs, but you actually just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then I was like, I had different expectations then, and then I was like, cool, like, that's fine then.
Also, sometimes you just need someone to be like, that's completely unrealistic, what the fuck? And then you're like,
And it had got a little bit out of hand, hadn't it? And the other thing that has been, like, super helpful for me is, like, talking about shared goals.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
Like the other day. Because we'd had a big discussion, like kind of recently we changed boundaries a little bit, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, I just want to know at the end of all this, I don't even know what that means, but at the end of all this, like, what is your like utopian vision kind of thing? Like are we working towards the same thing basically? Like, are you imagining in the future maybe like
I don't know, you're going to live in a fucking farmhouse with all of your lovers, or are we still going to be, like, I don't know,
a unit,
like, kind of primary partners or whatever, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then, yeah, so, like, talking about that and realising that we did have the same kind of end goal.
Yeah.
It calmed me down a lot, because where after the boundaries change, then I'm always a little bit, like, up in the air, because it just takes me a while to, like, settle into change.
It is a lot of work, isn't it? That's the thing. You have to kind of, you come into it thinking, oh, we're going to be non-monogamous. We're going to be polyamorous. This is going to be so
what a fun, sexy
so
time.
Fun and sexy and amazing. And then it's really hard. And you have to completely reestablish how you, like, think about yourself and how you think about your partner and how you think about other people. And it's loads of work. And
I think it's also in this situation quite easy to accidentally really hurt your partner's feelings.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just have to deal with that, don't you? It just feels like, sometimes it just feels a bit like a high intensity situation. Like at the start.
It's got a lot more variables than what you originally started with.
Yeah, you're opening yourself up to the possibility of like overstepping.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
And hurting the other person, hurting yourself, hurting the relationship.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
It is stressful.
But it's beautiful and amazing.
I just want to be the one that's like participating and then leaving whenever I want.
Unicorn.
It is a lot of work, but I feel like when I was having like a beautiful moment the other day, I was just thinking, oh my god, my life, like, since we have been in the open relationship, I just feel like my life is literally so fucking full of love. Like,
that's so
just
cute.
Everywhere. Like, it's just so nice. There's such beautiful relationships happening, and I just really love it. Mm. It's just so good.
I think it's really helped our relationship as well, actually.
Yeah, we're so much closer.
Yeah. Much better at communicating with each other.
Yeah, we are.
Respecting each other, and
I think it's because you have to be so vulnerable, because you have to talk about all the things that you don't want and do want, and it's because you're already like quite deep into the relationship. It's kind of like a new stage that you have to figure out all again. But that's nice.
Which I really enjoy.
Because some people like don't actually check in once they're in a relationship. They're like, oh, we're just coasting along,
keep
progressing and progressing. And it's like, I feel like so many people like end up in situations that are so serious. And they never even wanted to be there. Because, like, if someone says, like, oh, like, marry me, you can't really be like, well, I don't want to marry you, but I still want to be with you. Like, that kind of throws
that's
a spanner
hard
in
thing
the works.
Yeah, because then the other person's going to be like, well, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. What if you, I don't know, yeah.
They're like, why do you want the government involved?
Sign the paper. Have you done tarot for everyone else that you've done a podcast with?
Not everyone.
No, I only started doing it on, like, Carl's episode.
Okay.
Yeah, just pick three. Do you have, like, a theme you want to do?
What do you mean?
Like, do you have a question, or do you want to do, like, a career one, or a dream one? Let me read out the ones you can do. You could do a dream interpretation.
We could do... Well, should I
just pick three.
The dream that I had last night?
Yeah, sometimes it makes no sense.
Okay.
Do we need to hear what the dream was first, or not?
Or maybe you could tell us the dream after.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So then it's a surprise.
So wait, what do I do with these three cards?
You pick three and just put them down in order. Thanks.
Okay. Nicely chosen.
Thank you. What's that?
What the hell is that?
That's the Eight of Pentacles.
Eight's a good number. Pentacles, I don't know what they are.
Was there an eight in your
They're
dream?
Basically coins.
No, coins are good. Eight coins for me.
That's the Five of Swords.
And the King of Cups.
Yes. Okay, so origin. What feelings did this dream stem from, and what was the underlying emotion behind it? None of these are an emotion. Okay, so at Eight of Pentacles. Education, apprenticeship, and achievement. This card stresses the importance of hard work and diligence in accomplishing your goals. It indicates a time to buckle down, study, and achieve new skills, all in the name of being able to change your current circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah?
Does that ring true? I don't know.
In terms of your dream?
In terms of my dream? Not really. Not really. I know.
Okay, the message. What is the dream trying to tell me? Five of Swords. Unbridled ambition. Win at all costs. Sneakiness. Victory has been achieved, though it came with a consequence. By taking from your opponents their ability to fight back, you may have also created resentment. Your actions have isolated you from those who could be helpful later on. Were you having a fight in your dream?
No, I wasn't fighting. I'm desperately trying to think how this could... So, shall I tell you what the dream was?
You've got one more.
Okay, that's fine. And also, you gave me a look then, a really knowing look, Hannah. Like, what was it? You just staring at me like, this card is you all over.
No.
Okay, fine.
Waking life. How can I apply this dream's lessons to my waking life? King of Cups, compassion, control, balance. A man whose greatest quality is his ability to control, balance, and master his emotions. He is not empty of feelings, but rather full of them. He understands when they are appropriate and beneficial and when they are harmful. He is a man of compassion, diplomacy, and generosity.
Okay, maybe I could apply the idea of the ambitions, of being able to balance your ambitions and see whether they are harmful or deadly. What happened in my dream? And I don't have any background in dream interpretation. That's my first caveat, is that like I had a dream. I barely ever remember my dreams. I just like slept quite fitfully. So, right. In my dream, I was on holiday and I was in a hotel. And I went up to the top of the hotel and I jumped off the top of the hotel.
Oh, God.
And I landed in a pool and I was fine. And then...
What was the intent behind the jumping?
Fun.
Okay. That's about quite an important part. You didn't say that.
I know. I was like, you're literally giving suicide in your dream. This is bad.
No. So I landed in some sort of body of water and right. I was okay, but I fell for a really long time and then I landed in water.
Did you get that feeling in your tummy in the dream?
No.
Okay.
Not that I remember. And then I went back up through the hotel, up to the top. And Katya from Drag Race jumped off the roof of the hotel, but like missed the water and just splattered on the floor.
Oh my God!
I didn't see the body, but I heard that bad things had happened. Mangled Katya on the floor. Then you came, Hannah.
Yeah.
And you also jumped off, but you also landed in the water and you were fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So I don't
know. Jesus Christ.
I don't really know how to.
Is that the whole dream?
That was the bit of the dream that I remembered. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Where were we on holiday?
I don't know. In a hotel somewhere that was tall, near some water.
Was it sunny?
No, it was nighttime.
That's so dangerous.
I know. It's the sort of thing that I, like, I'm fairly risk averse. It's the sort of thing that I would not do, like, jump off a high building into some water just for, like,
the fun.
The fun of it, you know? I mean...
Poor Katya.
I might do that if Katya like incited me to, then I probably would do it, but I did the inciting.
I like the Drag Race element.
Yeah.
Did you watch UK Drag Race?
Yes.
What did you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I watched it because Pip was talking about it and then I watched it after their episode.
Sincere. I really liked the humour in it. I liked the British humour. I felt like there was a lot of character development. I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah. I wasn't pleased with the winner though.
No, I wanted Davina to win. The tiny cat!
Where?
Just around behind that bin full of stuff.
Yeah, she likes gallivanting in that garden. If I open the door and yell, she will like come running over.
Mm.
Hello, Pudding.
Gorgeous.
Is that the same house that... Oh? What's she doing?
She's seen
Is that the same house that Doughball waits for dreams?
Yes, that's the dreamy house. Ours is the nap house. Doughball comes here just to have a nap.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
I'd like you to read my tarot again, but not right now.
Okay. Yeah, we can have
next
one that
time
makes
I remember
sense.
A dream.
I have a really nice like queering the tarot book and it gives you like a whole gay thing. It's great. Oh yeah, no, on topic of the episode, last night, like me and Olivia sometimes just do like one card, and last night I did like a queer tarot one and it gave me the Ace of Wands, and then it said like, it was like, you may be thinking about whether you're polyamorous and you're not. It was like you just want one person. I was like, oh wow, drag me, Cassandra.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I'm just like very like agreeable and flexible, and I'm kind of like open to a lot of things, but maybe they're not the actual ideal thing that I want. I think it's just sometimes I don't know what I want, so I'm more willing to just see if I'm
experiment.
Happy with the other person's
idea. Yeah, I can see that. It might not be what works best, but it's worth a try.
Okay, it's time for your non-bisexual agenda. Who wants to go first?
Okay. I have two. The first one is cats.
Nice.
Because I love cats and I'm obsessed with cats and I just think they're wonderful, beautiful creatures. And my second one is free therapy for all.
Yes.
Or like charities that offer therapy, even if it means tested. I think that's really important and a really amazing resource that exists and should definitely be more prolific.
Yes. Everyone should have therapy and it should be free.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think when you get born, you should just be assigned a therapist. Like,
that's a really
start therapizing
idea,
you.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Like, every baby needs a therapist.
Do they?
Yeah.
Babies.
Well, like, kids. I think it's really bad that you basically are only exposed to your parents for like a very long time, and they can severely fuck you up.
Mm.
Yeah.
You need a professional in there, ASAP.
Mediator.
Okay, yeah, that is true, yeah.
And then the third part of our fully costed manifesto is for, like, trans-specific education for NHS health workers. Because I am an NHS health worker,
yes.
And I see an enormous gap in people's understanding at work, and it's clearly like affects patients. I see a lot of kids and adults who come through the system and are unwell and are, you know, really vulnerable and are having a really stressful time, and it doesn't help at all if the doctors and nurses and healthcare assistants and porters and domestics who are looking after them don't have the language to talk to them on a level that demonstrates that they understand. You know, I'm not expecting all normie straight doctors and nurses to immerse themselves in queer culture, but I do expect that they don't feel embarrassed to use the word transgender, which a lot of them do. They think it's a slur, or people just. I think it's a language problem.
Also, like, the dynamic that is set up already. If someone's going to a doctor, the doctor isn't going to feel comfortable turning around and being like, "So, can you like educate me on how to speak to you right now?"
Yeah,
they're either going to say nothing.
I agree.
Or they're going to say something that's like going to ruin someone's day.
Mm. Because at the moment there is a NHS rainbow badge that has been rolled out to loads of trusts all across the UK, and it was started by a gay, white, cis, sort of middle-aged paediatrician who works in London, and it's a really beautiful idea that people who work in the health service wear this rainbow badge that tells people, oh look, I am wearing a rainbow badge, and essentially that is all that it says, is that yes, I've signed up to wear this rainbow badge. Mm. And the idea is that people should feel more comfortable, maybe more able to come out to their healthcare worker if they're wearing a visible kind of ally rainbow badge. But the reality is that people don't get any education. And so you can sign up to wear this rainbow badge, and you could be a bigot who doesn't understand and actively dislikes people who are transgender. And I have a real problem with people having this sort of performative, meaningless, almost, marker.
Hannah already knows this, but I got told off at work for being homophobic because I like had said the word gay, and like someone had overheard me and thought I was being homophobic because I said that something was gay.
Yeah.
And my manager was like, well, people don't know that I'm not straight, so they might misinterpret things that I say, but like if I'm saying something's gay, it's because I like it and it is gay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she was like, maybe you should wear like a rainbow lanyard so people know.
You should identify yourself constantly as being gay.
And she was like, maybe I could get one too, so like people know that we're like a like queer friendly office. And I was like, do you not understand, like, the irony of the fact that you're telling me that you're going to wear a rainbow lanyard as an ally, and you're telling me that I'm homophobic for saying the word gay?
Yeah.
She was like, maybe you could print out a poster and put it on the notice board so people know what kind of office this is.
What kind of what?
I was like, what?
Warning, this office contains gay people.
Yeah, and in the end, I was like, the thing is, I am so fueled by rage that I was like, okay, if you want me to put something on the fucking notice board, I will. And I spent like an entire working day making this like fully comprehensive like guide to like LGBTQ terminology, being like, this is what this means, this is what this means, and emailed it to everyone in my office. And like a few people messaged me like, oh, this is really helpful, I'm really glad you made this, like this is great. A few people just like never mentioned it again, which is fine. But like some people like complained about it, being like, I don't understand why we need to like be using this kind of language at work, like it's really inappropriate.
What?
And it's just like,
why?
But also I shouldn't be in a position where like as a random admin person I'm like creating like educational material for my coworkers so that no one like commits a hate crime against me.
Agreed. It's like so much work that you're expected to do to make other people feel comfortable.
But also it was like the second I said, like, fair enough, someone made a complaint to her and she had to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the second I said, I'm gay, she should have been like, this has been a misunderstanding, I'll speak to them, never worry about this again.
Yes.
But the fact she was like, you need to be careful about what you're saying because people might take it the wrong way. I was like, that's their problem, not mine. And I think that's what's so fucking annoying about all this, like, straight people want to be like, I love the gays, I'm wearing a rainbow.
Mm.
But like, they're really homophobic and just don't even realize, because their level of understanding is like so minimal. They're like, well, I think gays should get married, like I'm perfect. It's like you literally don't know anything. And it's just so depressing that she thought she was really helping me out by being like, how about I get a rainbow lanyard so people know there might be gay people around. It's like so enraged.
So fucking awful.
But also, like, I made myself a badge that had like the bisexual flag on it. No one knows what the bisexual flag is. Like, nobody knows.
I love that you made yourself a badge. That's so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a problem with people like thinking they can do the bare minimum and thinking that that means that they are supportive.
Yeah.
And it's like very shit. But also, like, people who are training to be doctors now, like in school, in their sexual education, they haven't been taught anything about like gay people or trans people. And on their course, I don't think there's like a trans healthcare 101 in first year where they're like, hey guys, like this is how to like not be a cunt.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get any of that as part of my like medical education, but that was a while ago.
Not good.
It's just, yeah, it's just disappointing, and it means that people are going to make mistakes and make people feel uncomfortable where people are already living this, you know, challenged existence, and especially when accessing healthcare, because it's, you know, I mean,
well, it's like your life depends on cis people who don't understand.
Who don't understand, exactly. And when we were at the Trans Day of Remembrance at when we were in New York, someone was invited onto the stage to talk about people that they'd lost, and someone spoke about her sister, who had died as a result of sort of medical negligence, probably because she was trans. And this is obviously, this is in America, where the healthcare system is way more fucked up, in my opinion, than it is here. But that sort of thing will happen here. I experience immense disappointment every time someone, like a trans kid, I work in pediatrics, every time a trans kid comes through the system and people misgender them and people don't use the right pronouns or don't, it doesn't occur to them to ask, and at handover people are really kind of, there's a lot of like biological essentialism that goes on, and it's all to do with language, and I stop people and I say, you're talking about this in the wrong way, but you know, we need to be able to prevent that from happening in the first place, rather than have the one queer doctor in the corner pipe up and say, oh, by the way, you're doing that wrong. Like, don't do that again. Don't say this. Like, what? How have you, you know? Yeah, I think it would make life a lot easier for people who, you know, who are vulnerable and access the healthcare system in ways that are way more sort of precarious and difficult to, I don't know, difficult to find support for them. I don't know. It's really important to me.
Yeah.
And I... This is the sort of thing that I should maybe try and implement at work, isn't it, actually?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Well, you should say, pay me to put together a training program that you can roll out to everyone. You can make a very good PowerPoint. This is the thing that was so depressing, because it's like... Because I went to this really good thing at the uni that was like the woman who works for Touchstone was talking about how to like make your workplace like... LGBTQ friendly, and she like had like a whole section that was about trans people, and she was like, I basically realized that we had like no out trans employers, like employees, and I needed to change things so that people, one, felt comfortable being out of work or wanted to work with me, because they knew that I was like a trans safe or like friendly or trying to be workplace. And she was like, I had to invest loads of money and time into it, and I had to admit that I had been doing it wrong the whole time. And she was like, that's my advice to like you guys, like, you need to actually spend money on getting people to come and teach you how to do it properly. You can't just, like, try to do it properly without anyone educating you.
Agreed.
And it's like, people don't walk around thinking that they're being, like, homophobic all the time, but they are.
They are, yeah.
Just to let you know. I'm definitely gonna get fired from Can't wait. Yeah, hopefully none of them listen to us. Okay, I think that's the end.
Thank you.
This is where I say bye, but you actually don't leave at this point. So it's like a fake goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye.